Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What is the issue of so-called transgender, where a young child wants to identify as the opposite sex? What do you do? What's happening in the profession? Our special guest is Dr. Michelle Critella. She is president of the American College of Pediatricians and is a pediatrician herself. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. And Dr. Critella, you have written an article, you've written many articles, but the one that I'm referring to is one in the Daily Signal, and it's about why your profession, the pediatric profession, has been adopting this so-called transgender issue, and frankly, what's happening within that and other professions you label as child abuse. We've already talked on Faith and Freedom about the fact that you're not born that way based on twin studies. But in your article that you published, you go over 8 different points. The first point is that no one is born transgender, and the twin studies bear that out. But you also mention in point 2 about the fact that gender identity is malleable, especially in young children. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. We know before this protocol was in place, if young children were simply allowed to sort of this watch and wait, have families not reinforce their confusion, but basically just affirm them, assure them that they are loved and beautiful as the biological sex they are, so watch and wait, or went into family therapy, up to 95% of these gender-confused children would identify with their biological sex by late adolescence or young adulthood. The key was supporting them in their biological sex through puberty.
So if you then intercede with someone who's going through that confusion and you give them puberty-blocking medication, and then you tell them that, yes, they are the opposite sex, and then you even further go down the road of surgery, you're really putting the cart way before the horse, because 95% of pre-pubertal children that have this kind of distress about their biological sex, they grow out of it.
Are going to grow out of it, yes. And what we seem to be doing, because one study we have that followed the gender-confused children in which they went on puberty blockers, so they're socially being treated as the opposite sex, having their puberty blocked, 100% of those children go on to, say, give us the sex change hormones. So what we're doing is we're reinforcing their gender confusion, and we're taking something that is temporary and really cooperating, turning it into a mental illness and committing them to a transgender lifestyle, which is fraught with high suicide rates and physical illnesses.
Point 3 in your article said that these puberty blockers for gender dysphoria have not been proven safe.
Correct. They've not been proven safe when given to physically healthy, normal children. And they have been found to cause cognitive memory problems in both adult men and adult women, because it is used to treat some cancer and gynecological issues. But what's most concerning for the kids is that if they go from being on puberty blockers at a young age directly to sex change hormones, they are made permanently sterile. Mm. And furthermore, once you put these children on the sex change hormones, so a little boy would be put on estrogen, a little girl would be put on testosterone, not only are they made sterile with that blocker sex change combination, but they're also now at risk for heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, obesity, a whole host of other very serious health problems that they're going to have to face for the rest of their lives.
And we know, for example, in adult women and adult men, there's some studies. There's one in 2006, 2007 in the Journal of Psychoneuroendocrinology reporting brain abnormalities in the area of memory and executive function among adult women who've received these for gynecological reasons, and adult men for prostate cancer, the possibility of cognitive decline.
Right, cognitive, which is the last thing teenagers need.
Absolutely.
It's not funny. You know, I mean, it's not funny. It's just pure lunacy.
Thus the reason for your title, that this is child abuse. Number four, you said there are no cases in the scientific literature of gender dysphoric children discontinuing blockers. In other words, someone who starts on the blockers, they continue on the blockers for the rest of what?
So this is what I was explaining, is that they continue on the blockers. By age 16, they're expected to make a decision.
So bottom line is 95% of children who have
this... If the young children were left alone,
they would be fine.
95% would be fine.
100% of children who get these blockers continue on the path of going down through the next step.
Right. So what we are doing is we're actually recruiting children or committing these children into a transgender lifestyle before puberty.
Yeah, you're boxing them in basically and putting chains around them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Now, number five, you said cross-sex hormones are associated with dangerous health risks. You've already mentioned some of those things, such as blood pressure, blood clots, strokes,
high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, meaning heart attacks, strokes, diabetes is another risk from these hormones. Even depression, they've also been associated with depression in and of themselves, the sex hormones.
And point six, it seems to be pretty obvious that neuroscience shows that adolescents lack the adult capacity needed to judge the risk. What's the pros and cons? What's the risk? What's the short, long-term risk of the situation, of this decision?
Yeah, adolescents, so teenagers alone cannot, I mean, it's considered an international crime to sterilize an individual without their full consent, even if that is a side effect of another treatment. And children, teenagers, are not capable of fully understanding or giving full informed consent, let alone prepubertal children. They cannot possibly understand what it is to give up their fertility, let alone assess other risks, like cardiovascular disease. This is pure...
Yeah, that's just way beyond their capacity at that stage.
And this is why it is child abuse.
Let's talk in the remaining time about point seven and eight, and I'll read them together. Seven is, there's no proof that affirmation prevents suicide in children. And point eight is, transition-affirming protocol has not solved the problem of transgender suicide. Address those two.
Correct. So number seven... The other side, all we hear about, and parents are being bullied with this claim, is that, look, you have to affirm these children. These children were born that way, which is a lie. Everyone, every physician and therapist is now being told that the disorder has nothing to do with the discrepancy between thoughts and the physical body. The disorder is that the child is emotionally distressed. We're treating just the emotional distress, and we're going to treat that distress by actually facilitating, cooperating with the fantasy and confusion. So they're told, yeah, this is who they are, and you must affirm them, because if you don't, they will kill themselves. There's no scientific proof of this. This is one possible claim that is being pushed as fact. There is no proof of that.
And adults, you mentioned in here, that have actually undergone this surgery have an increased suicide rate of 20 times.
Right. So if you look at the adults, they initially feel better. They initially feel better after their hormones and surgery. But if you actually follow the adults 10 years out, 20 years out, 30 years out, from 10 years out, their suicide rates start to increase. By 30 years out from the hormones and surgery, their suicide rates are 20 times greater than the general population. So this is not curing the suicide problem. And we're doing this, we're taking this, and we're applying it to children, the vast majority of whom would have outgrown it if we just supported them in their biological sex.
We're out of time again. This just goes by so fast. Give us the website for more information.
Bestforchildren.org. We have a gender identity page, and you will find many resources there.
Bestforchildren.org. Our special guest has been Dr. Michelle Cretella. She is the president of the American College of Pediatricians. This is a very serious issue. Pastors, churches, counselors, everyone needs to know about this and not be fooled by the pressure of this coercive media drive to push children down this path. for which they will have long-term consequences. For more information, you can visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel, lc.org.